the other saints. So I want to encourage you, let's give a loud shout to the Lord. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We've got one of those hot Texas days that we're so famous for. No, not really. There's an inch or two of snow and ice outside. And I think the coldest Sunday in 11 years or 10 years, I think it is, what I heard somewhere in all this. So, you know, it's a frosty day outside, but I'm so proud of our A-team here. The people that have been here loving on Jesus and doing what they do because they love Jesus. Boy, it's great to be team, isn't it? And I'm so proud of you guys and so thankful for you. Well, listen, we're in a series right now that is just, it's really just, my heart's been so full. Matter of fact, one of the pastors that I was loving on this week said, man, you're just so full, you're overflowing over the phone, you know, and but it's really good and it's really sweet. And the Lord wants you to know how special you are and that His goodness is not measurable. It's immeasurable. It's so much. And His unfailing love is so, I want to say ginormous. I don't know. Maybe I invented that. But it's so big that we can't measure it. And I'm mentioning that because every time you turn something on, there's a measuring of death, destruction, or what the enemy is stealing. And humans are famous for measuring destruction. And you hear it, you know what I'm talking about. Every time you turn something on, there's a measuring of death and destruction. I'm announcing to you that believers, we don't have to focus on that. Even though that's a part of real earthly life, we have greater life that we can tune into that makes this earthly life worth living. And His name is Jesus. And when you, instead of measuring death, we need to look at the immeasurable life that Jesus is. We can't even grasp with our human minds the expansion of His goodness for us. I mean, with your name on it. And how amazing it is that His unfailing love never ever fails. Even when we do, when we quit, He don't quit. I love that about our shepherd. And so it's just so exciting. And so I'm so excited about this series. And I want to say, if I go to heaven in the near future, I would like this series to be my heartbeat that I leave behind. Because it's about Him and how great He is. And so you've heard me, if you've been listening to the series about, I've had this little saying that follow the Son in 21. And if you follow the Son in 21, you can have one of your greatest years of your life. You say, hey, Papa T, what about last year? It's not about last year. And no matter how you came out of this past year, the Bible says that His compassions are fresh each morning. And so if you blew it yesterday, if you say, well, you haven't seen my progress report. Well, you know, Jesus is not limited by your progress report. Okay? His compassions are fresh each morning. And so it's important for us to approach Him in a fresh and seeking way, submissive way, and let Jesus be Lord. I know that there's people that throw the name Jesus around. But there, I want to tell you, let's not ever forget that He is Lord. He's Lord. And I want to tell you, when we place Him in that place, not only see Him on the throne in heaven, but in the throne of our heart, then I want to tell you, when Jesus is Lord, it's amazing how things work out. It's amazing how things line up. It's amazing about the little things that disturb you or the big things that seem to overwhelm you. As the old hymn says, they grow strangely still. And they seem to disappear, you know, in His glory. And the Lord will want you to know Him in such a personal way. And so Psalm 23:1 is one of the scriptures that we've been using. And it literally says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now, this is the New Living Translation, but I love the way it says that. I have all of that I need because the Lord is. Now, that word is a small word, but it's big. And that word is means right now, right now. He's the God that absolutely can jump over calendars and jump over schedules and jump over our past, our present, future, because he is the right now. And I want to just say to you, next week, he's the right now. And this is so exciting because let the Lord, because he so wants to be your shepherd, let the Lord be your shepherd. And this is the confession. And this is your confession because of who he is. I have all that I need. You say, well, Brother Tim, it don't look like it. Well, I want to tell you, this is our joy in getting to know our shepherd, is that as we follow the shepherd, we receive all that we need because he has and does provide. And it's our joy to learn how to receive. Now, you've heard me talk already in this series that it's important to follow the shepherd closely. And I just want to say that those that treasure the Lord follow him closely. Though the more you love him, and I want to say loving him doesn't have anything to do with your moral bank account, because Jesus made it clear, even with the little woman that was a prostitute that came to wash his feet with her hair and to pour perfume on him and to minister to him in a very expensive way. And he said, because there was a questioning, that is this proper and is this the thing to do and is this wasteful? But love is not wasteful because he is so big on loving us that if you were to look at him, you would call him, maybe you've been a prodigal son or daughter and wasting some of your life, but if you looked at Father's heart, you would say he's the prodigal father because prodigal means too much. He absolutely loves so much, it's too much for us to take in. Wow, that's our God. And so he wants us to treasure him. And verse 6 says this, it says, surely, and you know, we've tried to explain that, surely means for sure, for sure, for sure. This is from God. This is his promise. This is his heart. This is his desire for you. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. He's pursuing you. Pursue me all the days of my life. This is a lifetime promise. So not only is it a lifetime promise, but you know, he promises long life. And so he is our long life. There's a promise there. So all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And it doesn't just mean a church building. It means enjoying his presence forever. Isn't that great? That's what he wants. Does he want you in church? Sure he does. But he wants you to enjoy his presence forever. What a beautiful promise. This is his heart for us. And so sometimes I get to minister to pastors or to men about how to treasure their wife. And I share with them, and it usually takes about an hour, because I got about an hour long session teaching on how to learn to treasure someone if you've fallen out of love or got things out of order, how to treasure your wife. And the Bible's great about this, and I'm just going to rush to say this because I don't have time to preach on this today. I'm just going to mention it, and I would love to and probably need to, but what it goes is like this. It's relationship principles. And the relationship principles, how that you can learn to treasure your wife. If you've fallen out of love or out of priority, you can learn to treasure your wife. Are the very same principles, because it's relationship, how to treasure the Lord. How to fall in love with the Lord. Same principles. And so really and truly, just a couple of things. You know, the way you think actually leads your heart in that direction. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the Bible says, it's Matthew 6:21. I want us to see that. Matthew 6:21 says this, for where your treasure is, now get this, because humans try to get it backward, like they don't have any choice in it. Well, wherever my heart is where my treasure is. Well, you're the one that gives it direction. You give your heart direction, okay? If you're not giving your heart direction, someone else is and will lead you into destruction, okay? And so we are in charge of this. And so this is what Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And so I'm announcing to you, you say, well, at one time I was in love with the Lord, but I've grown cold in a way, and it's just not working for me. Oh, yes. The Word of God is ever powerful, ever true. And our Lord has unfailing love for you. The problem is not on God's end. I'm telling you, we can teach anybody how to treasure the Lord. And when you begin to practice treasuring the Lord, your heart will follow. And I want to tell you this, and not only will your heart follow, there are principles you can apply, but the Lord will draw you because he's all the time courting you. I know that's an old term. I had to explain to the teenagers what it means to court, but it means that the Lord will draw you. He has a drawing grace, and if you've gone astray or gone aside or you've got wrapped up in situations in life, and this can happen so easily, he has compassion for you. We have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Yes, you can get off track. Yes, your heart can become dull and cold. We're going to address that in a minute. But I want to tell you, the Lord himself, your shepherd, is chasing you down to minister goodness and unfailing love to you. He's hunting you down. And all you have to do is stop and turn your heart to him. And you can learn to treasure the Lord. The Holy Spirit will guard you, and he will guide you in this. And I want to tell you, your heart can be fresh, can be in love with the Lord. You can have a fresh touch of the Lord. You can be at a greater place in the Lord than you've ever been in your life, because you can follow the Son in 21. All right, you're not surprised I worked that in. So anyway, we do some things like this. We remember and reflect on their goodness. Whether it's your wife or whether it's the Lord, the same principle, relationship principle, applies. Now, my wife and I have a great marriage. We have so much fun. But I want to tell you, part of the main reason we have a great marriage is because of her. She's a very forgiving person, number one. She forgives quickly. That's important. And you know what? With your relationship with the Lord, you need to remember that you've already forgiven, and you need to confess with your mouth and line up your heart with what Christ has already said, that you're already forgiven. And when you recognize and confess that even though you've messed up, I am forgiven, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I want to tell you, it puts you in a position to receive. And my wife, she forgives quickly. And I want to tell you something. When she gets up every morning, she focuses on the good parts of Tim Hall. Now, we all know. I mean, I could make the list for her. She doesn't have one, but I could make one for her about all the things that are not quite right, that are not at their best about Tim Hall. I could make a list. But I want to tell you, she chooses to think on the good and to reflect on those good qualities that are more like Christ, amen? And so I want to tell you, that makes a heaven of a lot of difference in a marriage. It'll make a heaven of a lot of difference in your journey with Jesus when you begin to focus and recognize and think on and reflect on the goodness of God. Boy, somebody ought to do a series on that, maybe on blessings and thanksgiving. Oh, I already have. Well, you can check that out. Please do. But something else that's very, very important, that we think that direction, and then we express it. And it's very important to say it. You know, I love you. I'm in love with you. I'm so thankful for this and that. And you know what? I'm committed to you. I want to tell you, your ears need to hear you say it. And it goes deeper than that. Your heart needs to hear you say it. Because this is how you begin to treasure, with your thoughts and with your words. And then with your actions, you got to put actions into it. And a lot of times when we're coaching a married couple in this, and even people that have grown cold in the Lord, they don't have that want to. That desire's not there. And to do something sacrificial, well, this is what's happening. You're investing yourself. You're investing yourself into that other person. or when it comes to the Lord, you're investing yourself into the Lord. And I want to tell you, when you think it, when you speak it, when you act on it, I want to tell you, your heart begins to line up. And I'm telling you that if you practice this over a period of time and you begin to treasure your mate, you know what? Hey, that may be, your marriage may be like stale glass of water, and Jesus turns it into refreshing wine. That's what he did at the first miracle at the first wedding of Galilee, when he went and did his first miracle was at a wedding, and he turned water into wine. He can do that in your relationship with your mate. He can do that with your relationship with him. That's how powerful he is, and he loves to do that. And so your heart follows your treasure. Now, it's good to get a good heart checkup with the Lord. And he loves you and will help you to do that, not in a condemning, but in an instructive, tender, loving, caring way. He will point out what's in your heart that's hindering that precious seed of the Word of God from implanting and from becoming a part of joining in with the soil and the multiplication of the kingdom taking place in your life. He wants you to know, and you want to know so you can cooperate. Amen? And so he will show you. You ask him, be honest with the Lord, be open, be submissive to the Lord. He'll point out the rocks that are in your heart. Or he'll point out the blockage that's in your heart. Could be unforgiveness. Amen? It could be self-will. It could be a number of different things that hinder that precious seed. But the Lord will work with you to make the soil of your heart great soil. Because this is his purpose and his will. Sometimes we gather trash in our hearts. And our heart has gotten off path, and it's because we've treasured trash. That happens, okay? The Lord will help. Because I want to tell you, his word has a cleansing effect. It's like the water of the word has a cleansing effect. And we know how powerful water is to cleanse. And so I'm announcing to you that this is exciting. This is for you. This is how you can have the best year of your life this year. And so we allow the Holy Spirit to work on our heart. Is there a blockage? Now, I have some personal testimony here that I don't have time to tell, but I just want to announce to you, it's amazing how many problems clear up in your life when there's no blockage in your heart. You would think some things are not even connected, but they are. And I want to tell you, it's very, very powerful when you allow the Lord, the master gardener, to work in your heart. It's amazing how things in your life that have been troubles and trials and disturbances and been an irritation, it's amazing how many things line up when you put Jesus first. Jesus said, if you put me first, seek ye the kingdom, the king and the kingdom, put him first. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. They'll come into order. Is that great news? That's our king. Well, I want to tell you about a man. I've already told you in some of the already in this series, I'm going to mention it right quick, that Abraham passed the test of allegiance. This has to do with the heart, okay? And he had been treasuring the Lord, and his heart passed the test of allegiance. I'm just announcing to you, the Lord has a way. Are you listening? This determines the speed of your growth. This determines the quality of your growth is where your heart is. And I'm announcing to you that you also must pass the test of allegiance. And the Lord has different ways and to make that come to pass. But I want to tell you, when your heart's submitted and surrendered to the Lord, it's a whole lot easier for the Lord to put his finger on something in your life that's hindering him from blessing you, hindering you from receiving his blessing. But when your heart's submitted, you can listen to his word. He said to the disciples, my word has cleansed you. And it's a whole lot easier for you to cooperate when the Lord says, go here or don't go here, then you're sensitive to his voice. Are you listening, saints? Okay. Well, Abraham passed this test, and this is what God said that he was going to do with Abraham. And he makes this statement. You've heard me say it before, but I can't get over it because it's such a mighty statement from a mighty God. And he says this in Genesis 22:16. He says, I have sworn by myself. Now, I don't think we comprehend about how big a statement that is and how serious a statement that is. God didn't have to do that. It's almost like that he gets down, tries to get down on our level, like you try to get down on your kids' level and try to talk to them with their words, with their language, to help them understand how big and how serious that dad is. This is what he said. It's like he got down on our level and said, I have sworn by myself, okay, that since you have done this, since you've passed the test of allegiance and have not withheld from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son, hey, this is what he says and this is what he does. He swore by himself that he was going to bless. And does he ever bless in a big time way? You better believe he does. And so he's promised to multiply. He's promised to bless and he's promised to multiply. And this is so exciting. And I've got to kind of hurry you up already. So let me go to Hebrews chapter 6 and we'll touch on it a little bit more. Because Paul that wrote Hebrews. There's a little question mark. Whoever it was had Paul's heartbeat on this, had the Lord's heartbeat. So we need to take it very, very seriously. And I probably got to explain to you just a little bit that not everything in Hebrews is pointing to the believer, the Christian believer. Some of it's referring to Judaism. And because in that day, there was, of course, Jews receiving Christ. And this Hebrews was written to them. Well, there's a little hint, Hebrews. A little hint about that, amen? But it's actually written to them. And so there's whenever Jews were receiving Christ, there would be other Jews in family and in friends that would hang around and come and be a part and hang around and checking out that Christianity, because it was kin. These were Jews that were becoming believers in Christ. And so some of Hebrews is written directly to them. And it's actually sharing with Hebrews that have received Christ about the comparison contrast of Judaism and Christianity. Okay? And so you got to understand who the subject is, the context of what's being said. But in verse 9, you see a little redirecting of information of ministry. And it goes like this, dear friends. Now, see, he's speaking to dear friends. He's speaking to family in the Lord, people that know Christ, that have committed Jews that have committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And so he's addressing them, and whatever I'm telling you, the Bible applies to us, amen? And so I want us to take this in. He says, dear friends, even though we are talking this way, in other words, he's been addressing the contrast comparison of Judaism. He says, even though we were talking this, we don't really believe this applies to you. See, this is applying to a different group. Do you see that? I'm trying to make this clear to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things. So see, he's speaking to a different group here, and he's talking about the people that have received Christ, that you are meant for better things. What kind of things? Things that come with salvation. Do you see that in verse 9? Now, you know, hey, it took me a few years growing in the Lord before I figured out that there was more to salvation than going to heaven. That at one time, that's all I thought it meant. But it dawned on me, and the Holy Spirit helped me begin to grow in my understanding. And I'm still learning, by the way, about what all he's paid for. But I'm telling you, there is a salvation package. Okay? A salvation package. And it infers and it includes, by his works on the cross and by the promises in the Word of God and his works on the cross, that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Wow! I mean to tell you, when you start looking at how big God's heart is and his desire to bless you, then this is what he's talking about. You were meant for better things. Things that come with the salvation package. All right? For God is not unjust. And what he's saying about that is God's not blind. God sees your heart and he sees your actions. Okay? And what is God looking for? And we covered this, that God's seeking for those hearts that are seeking him. God is seeking for seekers. And I want to tell you, what's big with God is the love of God. Look at what it says here in verse 10. For God is not unjust. He's not blind. He will not forget. He sees and he remembers. He's not going to forget any little thing that you do for other people out of the love of Jesus. Now, the love of Jesus is very important here because the kingdom of God operates on the fuel of the love of God. And so you cannot get around this. All right, this is first base, and you got to get to first base. And you got to always touch first base. But God, he will not forget. Now look, the Bible, there's a reference that Jesus said, as you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's a beautiful verse, because what that means is whatever you've done for other people in his name, and because you love him and you're loving them with his love, whatever you've done, no matter how big or how small, Jesus says he takes it personal. And he says, it's as if you've done this to me personally. You catch that? Man, is that exciting. Doesn't that throw new light? Okay, well, I'm telling you, that's exciting. Heaven counts that. He will not forget. Even if it's a cup of water, there's a reward that comes with a cup of water. When you give a cup of water to someone else because you love Jesus and you're loving them with the love of Jesus, Jesus says, it's as if you gave me a cup of water, I will reward a cup of water given in my name. Wow. And you can't outgive them. You can't outlove them. Get ready. This is big with Father. All the kingdom operates on his love. And he says, I will not forget how hard you have worked for him, for the Lord, and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Now, see, I'm not making this up. This is right here. And I'm telling you, man, this is big on God's desire right here. And he is saying here how that when you care for other believers, you're showing your love to him. And he counts it as personal. It counts. And I want to tell you, it's powerful. And I want to tell you, once you receive Christ, it's the greatest thing on earth that you can do is to receive Christ. After you receive Christ, everything you do for Christ will count for all eternity. Oh, I want to tell you, that's big. I hope you catch that. I want to tell you, we'll celebrate for all eternity every little thing you do for Christ on this earth, because the Lord counts it as precious to him that you've loved on others, you've loved on him. Look at verse 11. It says this, our great desire. Now, let me tell you, well, this is the word of God. And when he's saying our great desire, you know what he's saying? Listen, heaven's desire. Father's desire. This is big. Boy, when you get to see his desire, we take notice. It's Father's desire, great desire, that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. Wow. Boy, when we want to write down the majors and the minors, this is major. And I want to tell you something. It's a lot of times we try to figure, you know, the bigger, the better, or whatever. No. I'm telling you, every little thing that's done in his name, I want to tell you, he counts it. It's a great desire that we keep on loving one another. You know, Bible says this is how the world will know that he's alive and that he's real, by the way we love on one another. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, we love him, don't we? In order to make certain, now see, there's a benefit from receiving the love of the Lord and loving on the Lord, and loving on others with the Lord, love of the Lord. You say, well, that's something that even they can do in children's church. That's something children can do. You better believe it, and we never outgrow it. This is major. This is main thing with the kingdom of God. This is big desire with Father. In order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Now, I'm going to say this little principle. I've got a message on it. I don't have time to preach today. But what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Wow. I am telling you. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. It's important not to look to man to make it happen. But God will make it happen. And so this is very, very powerful. Hey, this has to do with our purpose. It's to promote the kingdom. And what I'm explaining to you is that there is a river of the love life of Jesus that flows from the throne room, flows from the cross, and that we need to be in that river of love. We get outside our purpose, and we don't practice loving on the Lord and letting the Lord love on us, then our love for others will grow cold. Our heart will grow cold if we're not treasuring this. And I want to tell you, but this is important, to be in that river of the love life of the Lord in order for you to have hope. I want to tell you, there's a great connection. It's a little bit of a mystery, but I'm telling you, our part's to keep it simple. There's faith, hope, and love. These are the three mains. And I want to tell you, love is the most important one. Because our faith is a result of our love life. Oh, Brother Tim, I thought it was the Word. Yeah, it is the Word. But I want to tell you, when we're letting the Lord love on us, it's amazing the revelation that comes about Him and about us. And hope is that picture that the Lord gives us of what He wants to do. It's that word that He gives us. It's that picture that He gives us in our heart because we're allowing the Lord to love on us. And we get the hope. We get the picture. The Holy Spirit gives us what He wants to do. And then faith comes. Faith is connected to the love of God also. And I want to tell you, it's so exciting. It's so very powerful. And when you're walking in the love life of the Lord, this makes certain that what you hope for will come to pass. Wow. How important is that? That's the adventure of seeing the love of Jesus in action. When you're in the love life river of the Lord, you're fresh with the Lord. You're not stale. You're fresh with the Lord. And so this keeps us from being caught in the boredom trap. Now, back in the 80s, I was an evangelist and working with teenagers, and I wrote this little track, The Boredom Cycle, and I can't find it today. But I want to tell you, it was very powerful. It explained how that teens can fall in love with the Lord, and then they become bored in their journey, and they go seeking at other things to enter the heart. Okay? That happens with adults, too. This next verse talks about it. Because if you're not in the flow, that river of the flow of His love, that fresh, ever-flowing river of His love, then I want to tell you something. You become like the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea has no life in it. Everything goes in, nothing comes out. The other lakes in that area of the world, in Israel, you've got inlet and outlet. There's a flow of life, and those lakes are full of fish even today. Life-giving lakes. Because you're in the river of the flow of God. But the Dead Sea is not. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason. Everything goes in, nothing comes out. Don't be like that. If we're not a channel of blessing, a channel of His love with others, then I want to tell you, it's coming in and it's stopping. And I want to tell you, you can become spiritually dull and indifferent. You can become bored in your journey. Look at verse 12. Then, what is then? If you're not walking in the love life with the Lord, then that's when it happens. See, I have people ask me on a continual basis, year after year, how did I get here? How did my heart, I don't know when it happened, don't know how it happened. Well, here it is. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. If you're walking in the love life of the Lord, it will protect you from being spiritually dull and indifferent. If you don't walk in the love of God fresh, active in your life, you walk away from the love of God, you will become spiritually dull and indifferent. A lot of people get there. I'm not throwing stones at you getting there. I'm saying that you don't have to stay there. Look what it says. Instead, when you walk in the love flow of the Lord, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises. Now, what group you want to be a part of? You want to be a part of the Hallelujah group or the Oh Me group? All right? God's fresh and active, doing great things in my life. I'm receiving the promises of God. I'm walking in the blessing of God and the exciting venture of getting to love on other people and seeing God's love in action in your life and through your life. Or do you want to be a part of the dull and bored crowd? Because that's what happens. Hey. When it says follow the example, I want you to picture this word. be an active participator. Not someone in the stands watching. Boy, it's easy to sit in the stands, isn't it? Even at church, even about church life, even about your walk with the Lord, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and judge when somebody else fumbles the ball or somebody else messes up or they looked silly when they tried that or it didn't work when they... It's easy to do that, to be a Monday morning quarterback. But hey, there's room for every single one of us to be on the field. And I want to tell you, it makes a difference when you're an active participator. One of our guys here at the church that's really God's developing for ministry, I've shared with him and I've shared with others that, you know, I see more miracles out there than I do in here. Because I want to tell you, out there, when you're on the front line and when you're sharing Jesus with people's lives, I want to tell you, God will confirm His Word and the testimony of His Word with signs and wonders. And it's very exciting. And so, you know, a lot of people want to see a miracle. Well, walk in the love of God and begin loving on others, and you'll have more miracles to talk about. This is the way the Lord works. It's so exciting. So, let's be an active participator with enthusiasm about the Lord. This is the difference between a convert and a disciple. What do you want to be? Let's be disciples. And He's still discipling people the same way He did when He was walking on the sand. Okay? Drawing people to Himself. And He makes us disciples. Very, very powerful. He uses His Word. He uses the Spirit. And you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit the promises because of their faith and endurance. These are people that are receiving and giving. That's the river of life. It's great to hang out with those folk. I want to tell you, they stimulate you in the Lord. They excite you in the Lord. Let's hang out with people that minister life to us. There are plenty of people that to draw life from you, but we need to be careful that we hang out with people that are absolutely stimulate us to good works. And so, believe for the big and believe for the more. These are the ones that through faith are receiving. And these are the ones that don't quit. Do you see the word endurance there? I want to tell you, the love of God will keep you from quitting. It won't be results by itself. It won't be other people's applause. It won't be by this or by that. It won't be by your report card. But the thing that will keep you from quitting is the love of Jesus in you and through you. Ah, hallelujah. The love of Jesus is so powerful. He will keep you keeping on to believe God for more. Remember, if you don't quit, you win. Okay? I want to tell you, people that quit on the outside, quit on the inside first. Okay. Let's believe God for more. Let's be a receiver, and all the people said. Verse 13, for example, and look, he begins to talk about, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Now, there are people out there who have criticized me. I've had a couple Dr. So-and-so say to me that you cannot apply the promises of the Old Testament to yourself. And you can't apply the promises that were mentioned to Israel or Abraham to you because it's a different covenant. Well, I want to tell you something. I just believe that's wrong as rain. Because, okay, bottom line, this is Father's heart for His people that He loves. And I want to tell you something. The New Testament talks about that if we're in Christ, we're the true children of Abraham. If we're in Christ, then we're joint heirs with Christ, and Christ is a part of this blessing because He's the one that spoke it. And I want to tell you, yes, I believe in New Covenant. And yes, I believe that we have a greater covenant with a greater relationship with God, and we even got greater promises. But I want to tell you, the greater doesn't erase the lesser. And I want to tell you the reason, if you just back up a little bit, critical saints, if we just back up a little bit and say, He gave this as an example. Who was the example for? It's for us. The example is for us. If it didn't apply to us, it wouldn't be in there. The Holy Spirit has a way of taking His Word, His heartbeat, His works, and applying it with our name on it personally, and that's where He wants us to be. And so I'm announcing to you, for us, the example for us, that's what New Testament says about Old Testament that they're examples and pictures for us. And so in this example, we're seeing Father's heartbeat. Father's heartbeat for his people have not changed. It's good. He promises. He's chasing us down with his goodness and unfailing love. Look at this. So there was God's promise to Abraham as our example for us. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name. In other words, he's saying, I have decreed this. Now I want to tell you, when God promises something, it's on. God cannot go against his own promise. He cannot lie. This is something God can't do. He cannot lie. And when he has said something, he has decreed it to be so. So your blessing and your multiplication of blessing to be fruitful and multiply in your life on this earth, Jesus called it abundant living. And I'm announcing to you that this is for us. And he decreed it. You say, well, it wasn't just a statement. Because I want to tell you, when God spoke, the earth was created. Everything on this earth, he spoke into existence. This is the way he operates, and this is what he's done for us. He has spoke this blessing into us. All right, I'm going to try to show you a few things. I will certainly, somebody say for sure, for sure. I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants of beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently. Does that sound like endurance? Does that sound like faith? That Hebrews just got through talking about and applying to us, pointing to us in the same way. In other words, it's an example. In the same way, Abraham believed by faith and he waited patiently because he believed God. He loved God. And he received what God had promised. Boy, that's a great testimony right there. And so it's because of his love. His love is an important ingredient. God's desire is a river of love life with him to others. This makes certain you are in the right position to receive what you hope for. You have hope because of love. You have faith because of love. In order, and this is out of the Amplified. I'm going back to verse 12 just to say this statement. But in order that you may not grow disinterested or become spiritual sluggards, is the way the Amplified puts it. Wow, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Spiritual sluggards. I actually had to tell someone this year, I can't meet with you anymore. Because you're slothful toward the Word of God. When that changes, I'm ready. You see, we got to learn as ministers and believers that we can't make something happen in somebody's heart that they're not willing to allow the Lord to do. Wow, that's pretty big. Fresh love life flowing keeps you from being spiritually dull and indifferent, cold toward God and toward people. Love life flowing keeps you in the right position, on the right path, saints, as others that are receiving God's promises. If you're always saying that God does it for other people, but he doesn't do it for me, hey, there's a missing somewhere. And it's not on the Lord. We can make adjustments on this. We want to be with receivers, not achievers. There's a part of the body of Christ that's just, operating like the world. Let's crank it up. Let's crank it out. Let's make it happen. But I want to tell you, those are the ones that get burnt out, get disgusted, and get rusted. And so I'm telling you, it's better to be a receiver. Christians are great receivers, not achievers. And so we keep on the same path as other believers that are receiving, that live out their faith, that are active, and they have endurance. It's obvious. If you don't quit, you win. The battle's not over till we win. Verse 13, God made this promise to Abraham because it's important of Father's heart to us. He made this kind of statement because he wanted us to know how important this is for us to see his heart of blessing. Verse 14, saying, blessing, I will certainly bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. For sure, for sure, for sure, I will bless you and I will multiply you. Receive that into your spirit. Genesis 22:17, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven. Now we know what he was talking about. His children's inheritance. And when he looked up at the stars, you know what he saw? He could not name, he could not number all the stars. And if you get out of the concrete city and you get out in the country and look up at night and see all the stars, you try to count them, and all of a sudden another one appears and another one appears, the darker it gets, and it's just amazing how big and beautiful it is. And God is saying to Abraham, just like the stars and just like the sand that you walk on, you can't count the grains of sand. This is how big my love is for you. It's bigger than you can count. It's bigger than you can measure. And there's a latter part of verse 17 that's a lot of time left out or looked over. But it's very, very important. And he says this, and your seed. Now I want to tell you, when he says your seed, your heir, this is actually referring to Christ. And you say, well, Brother Tim, how does that apply to us? Because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. You see, when we receive Christ, we become a part of the joint heir with Jesus Christ. We become a part of who he is and what he's done and what he receives. We're a part of it. This is how much he loves me. But look what he says about the seed, because this includes us. We'll possess the gate of his enemies. Now, that's powerful. God's our source. And I want to announce to you, don't limit God by one channel of blessing. God has many channels, saints. Many channels that he can bless you through. He's the creator. He's very creative. And he can minister and multiply every area of your life. Never say God can't do this, because the Bible says with God, all things are possible. Amen. Father's heart is for us to have dominion. Do you see the latter part of that verse? Well, somebody ought to do a series on spiritual authority. Oh, we already did last year. But I want to tell you, this applies. Because I want to tell you what this says, that you'll have possessed the gate of your enemies. It means that you're a conqueror. He's paid the price. Part of his blessing is for you to conquer. Part of his blessing is for you to have victory and to have success. Hey, look, God's designed you to be a winner. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath. The first and not the last. And he says in here with this promise that's passed on to the heir, which is Jesus, and passed on to us, to be fruitful and to multiply. That should declare the testimony of God's blessing in our life. Somebody say amen. Now, it's very, very important in this that we keep dependent upon him. See, not only, I'll tell you, Abraham was greatly blessed, not only because that he passed the test one time. Abraham passed the test of dependence on God, allegiance to God as a way of life. Was he perfect? No. But I want to tell you, this was his heart, and his heart always returned to treasure the Lord. And this was the benefit. So keep dependent on him. This is an important element. Now, his promise, and this is what's brought out in Hebrews. I don't have time right now to turn to it because I'm closing right now. And so stay with me for about five more minutes. But it goes like this. This is his promise. He cannot lie. And the Bible says there in Hebrews that it's for our strong encouragement. Now, I don't know how much encouragement you need. But God has supplied strong encouragement for us in his word, pointing to his heartbeat and his desire and love for us. Strong encouragement. So I don't know how much you need. But whatever you need, there's more here than what you need, because the Bible says it's strong encouragement. He empowers us to succeed. Do you see that? It's the Lord. The Bible says, don't let a rich man brag on his riches. Hey, don't let a successful man brag on his success. Don't let a smart man brag on his smarts, his brain. But hey, let him declare that he knows the Lord. And let him glory in the Lord. Let him brag on the Lord. So if you think it was you that's made this happen, you're wrong. Okay? It's God. And the sooner you get in the position with your heart that you recognize him and depend on him and submit to him and become a seeker of him, the more that you will see that he can trust you with. Wow, that was big. Lord Jesus, cause this to be so in our life. He wants us to love on others the way that he has loved on us. Blessing is not just for us, it's for others. It's for the kingdom. Abraham's our example. He lived to 175 years of age. Genesis 25, 7 and 8. The days of Abraham's life were 175 years. Is that amazing? I'll tell you what's really amazing is that you look at verse 8, because he wasn't just surviving. He wasn't moaning and groaning his last years. Look at what it says, a picture, a Polaroid, as you will, a selfie of Abraham's life. Verse 8, Abraham's spirit was released. Boy, I'm working on something on that. I just got to mention it. I'm working on something that there's a better way to die. We're talking now a better way to live. But there's also a better way to die. You see it with Jesus. You see it with Abraham. Other places I'm studying it. But they released their spirit. That's a big difference. Okay. Just a thought. I've got some things on that. Not for today. But look at this. Abraham's spirit was released. And he died at a good, ample, full old age. An old man, satisfied and satiated. I hope I said that right. I practiced. I don't know if it came out right. Satiated. Satiated. I think that might work. But I want to tell you it's an interesting word. Because what it means is this. It means satisfied to the max, where he couldn't take any more. Now, have you ever been to the place in your journey with the Lord where you said, Lord, it's too much. I can't take any more. I can only think of one time in my life when I was really in the presence of the glory of God where I thought, if I take any more, I'll die. I couldn't move. It felt like I couldn't breathe. It felt like I was frozen in the presence of the glory of God, and I just felt like I couldn't take any more. But that's the only time in my journey that I've ever had this satiated. But that was him. He was at the place. I mean, to put it on a human level, it's like you go to one of these Texas buffets, and you eat everything that you can possibly eat, and somebody says, hey, have you tried this? And you say, I can't handle another bite. That was Abraham's life. That can be our life, because his blessing is from Father, the same Father we know, same Father that loves us. And announce this, he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And it's his heart. Somebody needs to grasp that. Okay. I'm going to probably pick up here next week. Let me just say a couple little things in closing, because I want you to meditate and capture that this can be the best year of your life. He lived a long, satisfying life. We are the seed of Abraham because we are in Christ. Receive Father's heartbeat for us. He swore to himself, it's impossible for God to lie. You are blessed. You have received the promise of his Son. In Christ, we're blessed. And get this, we have the birthright. The birthright when you receive Christ. To not be afraid of any crisis, I'm being careful here, any crisis, no matter what the name is. Because the Bible says that his name is above every name. And God the Father in resurrection has placed him with all authority on heaven and earth and below the earth. And I want to tell you, the Bible says he's our victor. He's our champion. And he's taken away the weapon or the pain or the way of the world to harm us. He's the victor. He's overcome the world. And so no matter what the name is, he will prosper you and bless you. Listen to this. In the midst, he will set a table before us in the presence of whatever enemy is named. Whether it's financial, whether it's in your body, whether it's relationship, whatever it is, you can trust and receive from him. The important part is the positioning of your heart, and that's something that you can do today. He's faithful, and he's true, and he wants you. He's the winning team. And he, Jesus, paid a high price on the cross for you to win. I'm going to say it like this and pick up and share next week. But he became on the cross what we are so that we can become what he is. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so are we. He took the pain for the exchange. Do you see that? He paid the price for the exchange. What a blessing. What a privilege to know him and to receive from him. And this is his heart for you today. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that every person that's heard these words today, that what they would receive of your Spirit in a personal way. I pray over them, and I renounce that the way the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, we just stand against that in the name of Jesus, and I pray that their ears and their eyes of their heart be open to see you and to see your heart of unfailing love, your overwhelming goodness that's chasing us down, that it's your heart to bless, not to beat us, but to bless us, not to curse us, but to bless us. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that there'll be a witness in their spirit with your word that God is good and that he has planned good life for them, and it's through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and all that comes with it. Thank you for everlasting life. Thank you for abundant life. And we want to receive this year what you have for us. And all the saints said, amen. Thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you were with us. Let's kick off right here next week. Let's let this be the following the Son in 21. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, team. Went a little bit over there, didn't I?